right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, John and Chuck. Chuck, did you have a breakfast this morning?
I almost lost it because I heard John having diarrhea when I walked in. So, this is our second take of the podcast because the first take, John talked about his diarrhea and Keith didn't like it. So we had to restart. But I feel like we should talk about it. So I will continue with it. I had a...
Sick Semper Tyrannus.
Yes, all day. I had...
I'm going to shoot Chuck and jump from the balcony.
I had for breakfast a wonderful sandwich from Bongo Java. At the Five Points in East Nashville. Called the Fishy Bomb, which is a bagel sandwich with
lox?
Cream cheese, lox, tomato, lettuce, capers, and onions. And it was fantastic.
Chuck, that is living high on the hog.
I had a girl buy it for me.
There you go.
I cannot afford that. She bought it for me.
Our regular listeners will know that Chuck, every week, eats at a gas station. Or if he's feeling like trying something healthy, goes to Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the way
I live. So him eating at a locally prepared independent coffee shop.
Did not eat it. Did not pay for it. Wouldn't have paid for it.
There you go.
Was offered it on a date and said, yeah, I'll take it.
Uncle Sam's stipends are not paying for the... No.
To bring this back to basketball, Bongo Bob, the proprietor of said establishment, Bongo Java, I play basketball with him regularly.
There you go.
He is old and shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Bongo Bob.
Probably has a good like mid-range jumper, but nothing else.
I don't think he has anything.
Nothing.
I respect that he gets out there runs up and down the
He's
court.
Got that mid-range too, but the analytics has passed him by.
Can
Can
I just picture him as a guy with a headband and knee braces?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, good.
Nailed it from way downtown.
I think,
yes!
John, you're a couple months away from that, I think.
Pretty close.
The knee braces headband...
I am also knee braces headband.
Well,
I usually go with a terrifying bandana, like a Hulkamania bandana.
Oh.
And here's the thing, podcast listeners. We may continue this podcast because John and I have joined a rec league basketball team, and he's the player coach.
You damn right.
And we may just do updates of our season, and the iShop will just be everything we do.
I would love to. I will come to your games. I will film your games, and I will post them on the internet. I will put them on YouTube.
This will surprise no one.
High comedy.
I am a low effort, poor shooting player.
Yes, I made my my skill set known as Arvydas Sabonis.
A Randy Foy for John.
Very good. I'm Arvydas Sabonis, but like not the Arvydas Sabonis you remember, like current day 50-year-old Arvydas Sabonis.
I actually
with bad knees.
I actually 2 years ago. Was in Portland, Oregon, and was just walking around the beautiful city and stumbled upon...
Shut up.
Arvydas Sabonis Day.
Ugh.
Like, I had no idea.
Oh, so not him.
No, he was there.
No way.
It was a huge celebration with, like Brian Grant was there. Chris Dudley was there.
Chris Dudley.
Just all kinds of old random
Ruben
players.
Ruben Patterson.
There.
Kevin Duckworth.
I didn't see Ruben Patterson.
I wish.
Kevin Duckworth still with us?
He's probably dead.
Quack, okay. Quack, quack.
But anyway, Arvydas Sabonis was there. It was so exciting. But anyway,
Was it like seeing Easter Island?
It was.
His dome.
It was
legendary.
He precurses Stephen Adams.
That is acromegaly.
There is a medical condition for that.
All right, John, you already told us in the first take, which we've deleted, but did you want to tell us again? Tell our listeners, what did you have for breakfast?
I had a protein drink, which I... promptly vomited as soon as I got here.
Yes.
And moved on to, and then I took my doctor's prescribed amoxicillin.
Yes, John, you're battling spider venom in your body.
Yes.
Allegedly.
In a sensitive area.
It could have been a rogue agent.
Oh, dear.
Maybe a Jerry Stackhouse rogue agent from our year of...
He's sullied his name.
We had 9 months of mocking him in every single episode.
There's millions of dollars he can send microorganisms through the mail.
He's got some...
Nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology.
Exactly. My breakfast was a crepe with a kind of a dash of...
Nice.
Cinnamon and sugar, some fresh cut strawberries. I'm staring...
Homemade?
Right now, I don't know.
No.
I paid a lot of money for it.
Why would you do that? Why would you make your own crepes? That's a nightmare.
It was delicious.
Papa Keith is always down for some sweets.
Treat yourself. You know.
Where'd you go? You should shout out the establishment.
Establishment in Nashville called The Perch.
The Perch.
Had a mimosa, too. Treated myself.
Damn.
Treat myself.
Treat yourself 2015.
All right, so I treated myself because this is, unlike some people, this is my favorite time of the year for the NBA.
So sad.
I love the first week, month of the season, and then I love the week after the draft.
Everything.
And then the week after the free agency, the craziness. I think I've noticed.
This is the worst time of the year.
So I hate it.
La fin du monde.
Yes, exactly.
I feel empty.
And that's,
what do I watch on TV?
There's no real
that
basketball.
That is what a lot of people feel. Most people,
don't you dare say most people don't like the actual playoffs.
I'm saying the opposite.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think most people's favorite might be like the first week of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, like where it's
80 games.
Yeah. It all gets real and it's all kind of fun.
No, you're right.
I love that. But still, and it might be because I've been a hardcore Grizzlies fan since, you know, I was a NBA agnostic. Mm. And then when the Grizzlies came in whatever, like 2001, they were horrible for so long.
Yeah.
The playoffs weren't that interesting anymore because it's like my team was always out. But hey, once that team's over, it's like, oh,
now I have.
Can
hope.
We turn Stromile Swift into Shane Battier?
Yeah.
You know, or let's have a, or yeah. those type of things.
Well, that's the thing. Like, because in the NBA, you have literally six teams that are in contention for a championship.
Right.
Everyone else, if you're a fan, the only thing you have, if you actually know basketball, is hope.
Right.
You know, so the draft provides you hope for the
future.
Sells
you hope, even though, like, what, 5% of them will be good.
Exactly. And you deal with this wonderful place in your brain where you're not actually having facts matter. It's all projections and wonder.
It's interesting that you say that, because this draft, for me, as a Grizzlies fan, was a hope crusher. It made me realize that the problems are systemic and are never going to end. And that the people who are running, the people who are steering this ship, are maniacs.
John Hollinger needs to be tarred and feathered.
Go ahead and save that thought. We'll get more into that, into the draft, and at the very end, we'll do a little bit of the Grizzlies. But we start every show with the breakfast in bed apologies. This week's a little different because, again, it's been like 10, 11 days since we podcasted. There have been, as we said, no more basketball.
Yeah.
There's no games, but we will still try to find some things that either we got wrong or we feel we need to apologize to our listeners for. I'll go first. This is a basketball. This is actually something I got wrong that I will apologize for.
This is very rare.
In our preseason podcast, I promised some of our, again, I'm a huge Grizzlies fan, and I promised those other Grizzlies fans that John Lohr would be moved during the season. I was wrong.
I was
4 months off.
You were.
I thought him and Quincy Pondexter were definitely going to be moved off the team.
I think Lohr probably was difficult to move.
I'm surprised. So you get traded to the Suns on draft night. You might know.
For the gorilla, right?
No, yeah.
Oh, no.
They would never actually trade
the
gorilla.
The gorilla's way more important.
Not until Obama makes him change that racist mascot.
I am nodding solemnly.
No, I see it. John Lohr actually had a game a year and a half ago against the very Suns where he had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks.
Oh, that's my favorite dumb GM move.
Yeah, and that's
the Jay Fiedler.
Yeah.
Right.
Jay Fiedler had a great game against the Miami Dolphins when he played for the Jaguars, and then we gave him $100 million.
So,
and he ruined
so
us for
under,
5
under
years.
That scenario, John Lohr did get moved finally, but much after the season and much after they could have tried to get someone to actually help the team last year, but a few months off on that one.
There's your half-assed apology.
Yeah. Gentlemen, anyone else?
My apologies go to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Los Angeles Lakers, Philadelphia 76ers, New York Knickerbockers, Orlando Magic, Sacramento Kings, Denver Nuggets, Detroit Pistons, Charlotte Hornets.
Are those the first 9 teams?
Those are the first 9 teams. I would like to apologize to those franchises and their fan bases for passing on arguably the best talent in the last 5 years in the NBA draft, a generational wing in Justice Winslow, who prior to him being drafted, I called him Justice because I didn't know that was the way it was pronounced. So
so you're very knowledgeable.
I am. I'm a very well-versed college
basketball
fan.
This is a very level-headed, non-homerism.
No, it has nothing to do with the fact that I have contacted 4 of my friends who are NBA fans, East Coast, West Coast, worldwide. And they all told me, to a man, the steal of the draft, Justice Winslow. So,
while I think it is also, I concur that it's the steal of the draft, You probably don't have to apologize to those first four teams.
I would agree with that.
I think the Lakers are screwed. I don't think Russell is going to be much. I think he's going to be a big, large flameout because Kobe Bryant's not going to give him the minutes, and he's playing for three more years.
Coach, player right. coach Kobe Bean Bryant.
Mm-hmm. Can you see Kobe play for three more years? And if that's the case, how is D'Angelo Russell going to play?
I cannot see him playing for three more years.
I can see him playing until he cannot physically get on the court anymore.
I think this is
which would be the last 2 years.
Yes. I think this is his last year. He's one more ruptured patellin? Peloton.
He needs to go
patellar tendon.
He needs to up his cyborg game cuz his he's doing
that is the next move.
He's doing all the human work that can possibly be done by flying to the German doctors and having his blood centrifuged.
Replace
or,
my blood.
So and he's still his tendons and things are giving out.
Here's why I disagree with you. He wants to be known as an all-time great. He has 5 championship rings. He is an all-time great, but the only way to solidify that and to eliminate all the, you know, side contention with championship rings and MVPs and all that stuff is for him to be on the top two in scoring and these sorts of statistical milestones that he's close to. So it may take him 3 years to get there.
I'm more in the camp. The more he plays, the more he defecates on his legacy.
I think the only thing left in his legacy is his statistical place in the era of Karl Malone, Michael Jordan, and Kareem for top scorer in the history of
Could
the league.
Be. John, do you have anything you need to get off your chest?
For those who watch the draft coverage, I'd like to apologize to not only all of us that watch, but in particularly to Jay Billis for having to suffer Jalen Rose's nonsense for 5 hours.
I watched, but I didn't pay incredible attention.
Since Bill Simmons got canned, I now realize that probably the greatest thing Bill Simmons ever brought us was he could somehow make Jalen Rose palatable.
Yeah, he would give him like bait.
Yes.
To something that was interesting.
Jalen Rose needs a straight man, needs a setup
he
man.
He does. He needs somebody to throw him an alley-oop.
He needs a Stockton.
He does.
I talk a lot of very negatively about ESPN, right. And a lot of it is, it's stale to unwatchable. I don't know if I'm not the target audience.
Well, I think...
Because I assume, like, it's the NBA draft, hardcore NBA fan, actually not the target audience.
No.
They're just trying to pull people in.
Yeah.
But I watch all those guys up there, and I'm just like, eh...
Well, I agree for the most part.
Like, Fran Fraschilla was kind of bringing it.
But everybody else. I think Jay Billis and Jay Williams are really knowledgeable.
They were fine.
About the college players.
Is Fran Fraschilla the guy who played the agent and he got game? Was that the guy that we were thinking
that
about?
That is the person you thought
that
it was.
That is who we thought it was. Okay, good. I know Fran Fraschilla. He knows all the European players and guys from Brazil, too.
He is the TV-ready version of Chad Ford.
No, that's it.
Chad Ford must have a face for the radio.
Dude,
Chad Ford's too busy. Oh, you're making the same joke.
Okay, go ahead. That's you.
Chad Ford's too busy deleting his incorrect draft profiles. I don't want to say it. And revising them.
I forgot about that.
Chuck and I both stepped on each other there with that one. All right, so that wraps up our breakfast in bed apologies. Also, we should say, it's kind of a caveat, we're not going to get really into talking about the guys who were drafted because none of us... Actually, only John watches college basketball.
I still feel pretty knowledgeless.
But still, it's one of those things where, like, even the people who watch tons of college basketball, you can't necessarily grade these players. No one knows how they're going to turn out.
You can't project.
The more it's like filling out your NCAA bracket, too. Like, the more you watch doesn't really help you.
No, it almost hurts you.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, I know this weakness. And then just where this person's like, oh, I think a Cougar would beat a Colt.
Yeah.
And then, we know most of these draft picks aren't going to pan out. That's the way it works.
Statistically, I think 20% will be in the league in 5 years.
Yeah. But we are going to talk about one of the things, the teams that seem to take advantage of opportunities, and everything will be filtered through the lens of people who watch the NBA and are immediately dubious of all draft picks.
Of course.
We might not do steals, but just know that.
What Keith was saying is the draft is bullshit. But we need to make a podcast.
And it's wonderful to watch.
It is. It is like pomp and pageantry and
sartorial
wonderful
splendor.
It is beautiful, but at the end of the day, it's pure hope peddling.
Right.
There's nothing. That's the reason why we all watch it, is because people need hope.
So that being said, let's get to our steak and eggs best thing. What's your steak and eggs since the last time we were together?
I don't know if you guys know this, but the Miami Heat drafted a great player out of the University of Duke.
How tall is he, Chuck?
He's 6'4.5 in no shoes.
Wait, he's 6'4"?
He's 6'4.5, barefoot.
Is he a point guard?
No, he's supposed to be a small forward. Here's my thing, and this is why my large scale, because I went from pure ecstatic orgasmic ecstasy for 3 hours after that pick to where I'm at now, where I go, he's 6'6", but he's not fast enough to play shooting guard and not tall enough to play.
So you're telling me, would he be the shortest player on the Warriors, or is Steph Curry an inch shorter than him? Is that?
No. Steph Curry is 6'4".
He's like 6'4", 6'3".
Yeah. So yeah, he's like half an inch shorter than
maybe,
him.
Maybe you'll get lucky. It'll be like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Grow 5 inches.
That's what I'm hoping for. Year. That he's 19 years old and he gets one more inch of height. That's all he needs.
That dude is a full-grown man.
Giannis. Or Winslow.
If there's not a doctor in Miami that can't give him 1 inch of height.
If we can't do some HGH, somebody holler at Alex Rodriguez.
Hook it up, Levitard.
Yeah, that's my only my only concern with him is that if you look at the historical height comparisons of small forwards, no 6 foot six small forward tends to dominate. So that's my only issue with my best of the week, which is Justice Winslow falling to number 10. Thanks, New York Knicks.
Again, knowing nothing about this Just Ice Winslow, I am
Justies.
You know, he does seem to be the steal of the draft. Everyone says,
well, that's
falling in the range of like the Paul Pierce, the guy who fell.
You need to thank Michael Jordan.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan, thank you for being in love with Frank Kaminsky, who you just traded from the Clippers for.
Right,
it's Spencer Hawes with a little bit more handle.
And the funny thing, is, for a while there, the Bob Nets, the Horncats, would only draft guys who went to Duke or North Carolina.
That was their deal.
And then, and now they have this guy falling, and they're like, no, this is the year. And all their fans are like, let's get Justice Winslow.
Yeah, he's from around the corner.
This is the year.
Did you guys hear what Ainge offered?
Yes.
4 draft picks.
Yeah.
And players.
Apparently, the draft was not handled well by several organizations who had the opportunity to perhaps gain assets by offering Justice Winslow to people.
Well, let's talk about that. That leads into my best. My best was going to be the New York Knicks for eschewing, you know, the pressure and knowing that they were going to get booed, and they, I think, made the right pick anyways. You have to take the guy. That team needs to take the guy with the most potential.
Sure.
Adding one collegiate athlete is not going to change the woeful ways of that franchise.
Right.
But really, what I loved is that the Hinkies and the Angels of the world and their strategy of accruing draft picks, it has finally backfired.
Yeah.
The rest of the league has figured it out, and it's not going to work anymore.
So what do you mean? You just think teams aren't because the trades failed this go-round?
Well, yeah. you saw it happen. You can almost tell that what was going on when that number 3 pick happened, when D'Angelo Russell went second.
That was an amazing domino effect.
Was Hinkie just saying, I know what value is.
Yes.
This is a very valuable pick, but I also can't give these teams what they want, or I will lose in my metric or whatever.
Either
spreadsheet.
That or Embiid is totally
screwed forever. And in that case,
which is likely.
Well, he looks like 2 years in a row out with another injury, and he's likely to miss 15 and 16.
I mean, he's a guy where I have a buddy who he listens and he doesn't watch. He used to watch the NBA. He doesn't watch the NBA much anymore. But just last year, and he doesn't watch college, but last year he was like, yeah, this Embiid guy, they're telling me he has foot problems and back problems. He's a big man. Why would anyone draft him?
Why?
Well, yeah. It doesn't take a hardcore person watching college or pro.
All I know is that if you see him do on YouTube the between the legs dunk, you would draft him number one overall because it is a 7 foot.
He is
ridiculous animal.
Easily the best player of these last 3 drafts.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
you can't.
The health concerns are too much.
Yeah,
but it doesn't stop guys like Hinkie from. He just took another big man.
Yeah,
I mean, Nerlens Noel probably is a piece that's going to be moved, but
sure,
no one's really falling. Like Ainge got stuck taking a guy at 18 that he at 16 that he probably could have gotten at like 28.
Yeah,
that's the joke everyone's making.
Oh, really?
The joke is like they took RJ Hunter at 28. And they took whoever that guy was, Rozier at 16, and everyone, the draft boards had those swapped.
Yeah.
Like you would have thought. So either way, it works out.
Well, and that was like when Ainge took Rozier there, to me, that was a concession that was like, oh, my not going
to
work.
Right. Yeah. I don't
I
know
need to it. Just safely make sure I
but
hit
it kind of, again, I think,
not
knowing how this is going to work out, both people feel like getting those two guys with those two bigs seems fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how last year the Lakers paid Jordan Hill $9 million. And Ed Davis $1 million, and right. while you're shocked to play Jordan Hill $9 million, you're like, well, but if you had both of them together for $10 million,
yeah,
that seems right.
Yeah, if you paid Jordan Hill $5 million and Ed Davis five million, you're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You did well.
That seems reasonable.
But when you look at the Celtics roster,
yeah,
neither of those picks make
sense.
They just have a bunch of offense first guards.
That's the fun part about this part of the season, like looking at the rosters now, where you're like, again, the Celtics, you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
there's just a glut of dudes. The Suns have a glut
and it's
of just guards.
The same dudes.
And well, then some teams have
no
players.
I think there are defensive players on that Celtics front court. I mean, back court with,
Smart.
Smart.
The
and,
end.
Well, everybody can play
and
defense.
Keith, and Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart.
Not Keith.
Not Keith Smart, no.
Marcus Smart is now apparently trade rumors.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
So.
Anyway, let's do my steak and eggs. My best thing is my steak and eggs and my cream of wheat are kind of interchangeable. They're both objectively, I guess, bad if you cheer for these teams. As someone who doesn't cheer for the teams, they're just brilliant, amusing theater.
Yeah. Shot and throw.
So I'll go with my best of the week is the Sacramento Kings. That's a clown show.
Man.
I mean, before the draft, we had all this, and they still might trade DeMarcus Cousins. So before the draft, it's like they were going to trade him to their, like, the most hated of their rivals, traded to the Lakers, like Divots and Shaq. We're gonna send guys back to the
quick aside. I can't believe we saw Vlade Divac sand cigarette.
He should always have
not on a basketball court
on his lip.
Little aside, did you know Divots was like the third highest player in the league in like '94?
The third highest paid,
yeah. He had the third highest salary.
That makes sense.
I just randomly saw that.
Yeah, you got to bring him over, man.
But so then they were going to trade Cousins for a host of
nobody's
Lakers things.
Yeah.
And then it was
number two.
And then it came out that Vivek was very angry about George Karl doing all this. And then maybe they were going to fire George Karl, and that was going to be their fourth coach. If they hired a new guy, they'd be paying four coaches at once.
Wow.
So this was amusing. Then the draft comes, and they select Willie Trill, Cauley-Stein, who, again, I've never seen him play basketball, but I've heard he cannot dribble or pass.
No.
And, again, this goes back to the you don't have to be a person who watches the sport to glean these things. Like, say, a big man with bad feet, bad back might not be good. this might go into the, I don't know, I don't know if this is kind of the social category or...
Oh, here we go.
When I saw him at the draft, you know, like flashing his bling and being all kind of like you change your name to Trill.
A lot of coded language.
Well, you're just
doing it
right now.
I'm not sure. I think the life might be... He might be more about the life than the game. You know, like actually working to get good
at
basketball.
Says the guy whose favorite player is Z-Bo.
Who's all about that?
Z-Bo struggled. No, there's no question.
No, he did. But I mean, like,
and one of the reclamation
projects. And one of my darkest moments was when the Grizzlies wasted all their, air quotes, wasted all their salary cap space on Z-Bo, who was a joke in the league.
No, he was.
But then he turned his life around.
No, he did.
It took me back to a time when the Titans, Cross Sports Reference, drafted Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Mm-hmm.
When like the first five picks before him all stood up in their suits and like kissed their mom or dad and shook their agent's hand.
And Pac-Man
and
just
then
made
Pac-Man
it rain.
Was with a posse and like made it rain. It had like gold chains. And you're
what
like,
can I say? I like it at a script club.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
And it's like,
deja
you know what? That guy might like the off-court life that will be presented to him. Jeez. And so then him going to an organization that seems to be struggling with leadership, with how they're going to treat their players.
There is no alpha dog on the team. I guess Boogie would be at this point in time.
I don't see how a purely defensive center can play the same time with Boogie, because it just seems like to me they would just sag off of him and double Boogie
even
more.
I think
he is Boogie's friend.
Yeah, no, he is.
Which is not a great thing.
No, because now you have two homies who are going to go get some dank.
Boogie has won the war against
dispensary.
Carl.
He has.
So the best thing that happened all weekend for me was Keith sent a text that said, "No disrespect to George Carl's battle with cancer." But George Carl is a cancer.
That's the text of the week.
Yeah, I was in the private confines.
It was, but who cares?
Yeah, anyway, no, that was great.
I'm glad you're healthy, George Carl.
Part of, although honestly, I see, while I think the Kings are, again, screwing up a lot, part of me sees the, maybe, I don't know if it's the devil's advocate, because everyone, I know, like, all basketball writers are freaked out about trading Cousins for prospects, because you have in Cousins an all NBA type player. You have a great player.
Right.
But I do see, I see the flip side of DeMarcus Cousins has never won 30 games in a season. He looks amazing. He also is responsible for some of the best vines we've had in the past season of him just not playing during plays, like putting his hands on his knees, like grabbing his shorts and letting players play all around him while he just stands there. And you're like, I know you're frustrated. And then I heard Amin El-Hassan had a really good, he was just talking about, like, if you go over DeMarcus Cousins' history back to high school, like, oh, in high school, the first time Amin El-Hassan said he saw him was at an All-Star game, and he pretty much got in a dispute with the coach. Like, he got in a fight with the coach in an All-Star game, and then he committed to UAB, and then he switched that and went to Kentucky with Calipari, clashed with Calipari, got drafted, got multiple coaches fired in the NBA, got a max deal, like, and he keeps going. So it's like there's been no consequences on anything Boogie's done in his life. So I kind of see the, maybe if I was George Karl, and you're like, oh, can I get Okafor, and I can keep my sixth pick, and I can get Clarkson and Randall.
24-12, dog.
24-12 on a losing team always. I don't know.
No one should feel sorry for George Karl. Worst case scenario, he gets fired, got paid $11 million for 40
games. I don't feel sorry for George Karl. I don't feel sorry for DeMarcus Cousins. No. It is my steak and eggs best of the week, because it is grand, amazing theater. The only way it could be better is if they had a camera crew out there and they created the Sauce Castillo and Will the Trill.
Will, reality show
where they go around doing anything.
Shout out to...
Literally, I would watch Nick Stauskas and Colley Stein do anything together.
I'm kind of sad we didn't get a moment in the war room where it was just Colley Stein.
Colley Stein?
Why? Stauskas?
And I think a couple people make the joke on Twitter, like, why wasn't this year's war room filmed? Like, that would have been the best.
That would have been perfect.
It was sort of filmed. I saw Vlade without a cigarette. Very, very disturbing.
All right. What's the opposite of that, which in my case is the exact same? What's your cream of wheat? What's the worst thing that we've seen since we last met?
My worst is the wonderful trade that the Brooklyn Nets made for... nobody, sending Mason Plumlee to Portland, effectively, I think now with Myles Leonard?
What, Myers?
Myers Leonard.
Supreme energy being.
Grizzly killer.
50-40-90 club.
A 50-40-90, absolutely crazy Myers Leonard. I think they've... I'm not going to say they have replaced LaMarcus Aldridge with Myers Leonard, Mason Plumlee, and who was the other guy that they just got?
Pat Connaughton.
Not Connaughton, no, the other center.
Oh, I mean, they haven't signed.
Oh, Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're hoping.
No.
Rolo.
No.
They haven't signed.
Yeah, no, they signed another. They traded for another one, didn't they? Vonley.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Last year's number nine pick.
I think they money.
Which no one's ever seen play basketball.
Right. Well, they just moneyballed LaMarcus Aldridge with three players who can effectively replace him for minutes at a time, who aren't ever, the three of them, better than him. But I think they can replace him with 15 minutes each of them and kind of survive.
I'm just glad the Blazers have not given up.
No.
They're kind of... It's weird. I see what you're saying, Chuck, that...
Because Plumlee
While it's a big deal that LaMarcus Aldridge is chosen to leave and you know, inform them that he was leaving, as crushing as it is, it does seem possible, especially if they keep Robin Lopez, to have kind of a front court platoon. But again, I don't think Vonleh can play basketball. I mean, I know he was hurt.
Right.
He was bad in the summer league, and then he looked rough when he finally got his handful of minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the guy can actually play basketball.
But look who they
got
this package of players for.
They flipped Batum, who struggled. He's a popular guy, I think, in Portland. But I think a lot of Portland was getting tired. You have a good buddy, Matt, who's a huge Portland fan. I think they were getting... They're sad that playoff, every year playoff team seems to be broken up. But I think they were getting a little frustrated with kind of how it was.
I think it works out. You don't know anything about Vonleh, but there's potential. Obviously, because he went in a top five pick. You have...
Top 10, but whatever.
Was he top 10?
I think he was
number
top
nine.
Eighth or ninth.
Was he nine?
Nine.
Sorry. Plumlee is an effective defensive force in the middle and
excellent transition player.
And can do some pick and pop.
So I was looking into him. We don't know. He was traded for the Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
For nobody.
Again, I don't know his rookies. And so maybe that guy will turn out to be good. But it does seem strange that it only took the 23rd pick to get Mason Plumlee. I mean, Mason Plumlee, when he started last year, pretty much averaged like he can get 15 and 10.
Yeah.
Like his per 36 averages are about something like that. But they're actually worse than his. I think his per 36 is like 14 and 9. Mm-hmm. But if you actually look at the games where he played 30 minutes, he got 15 and 10 in all of them.
Yeah.
Like when he was used in those 9 minute roles, when Lionel would roll him out for like 5 or 8 minutes, he would get absolutely nothing.
Right.
And that actually hurt his overall. He actually is. I like him that when he plays, even though he can't shoot, they are a good offensive team when he plays. He's actually a secretly not that great rim protector.
Yeah.
Opponents shoot a pretty decent percentage against him.
But he's good transition defense.
He's quick. He's big. He's smart. He tries hard. I think he's a good player.
He will dunk all over you.
Everywhere on your face.
Yeah, and so I think
so if you take the package of Leonard, who can obviously shoot the lights out.
The question with Leonard is going to be, will that glory... How much will that glory fade?
Can't in the center hole.
With more usage.
But you're not you're not looking at him to play 30 minutes a game. I think if you get him at 20, you get Plumlee at 20, and you get Vonleh at 10, you have a decent, or Vonleh at 8, obviously, because it's 48 minutes. You have a decent rotation big to kind of be a cheaper version of LaMarcus Aldridge if you use them in the effective way,
I watch soccer. My team, the Tottenham Hotspurs, once had the best player in the league named Gareth Bale. And when they got rid of him, they sold him for, I think, 90 million euros. They said, well, we're going to trade Elvis for the Beatles, and got 3 players to fulfill his role. And they were terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, what Chuck is referring to, never works.
I think,
except in Moneyball, you replace Jason Giambi with whatever the dude from Jurassic World
with Chris Pine.
With Chris Pine,
I think Pratt. I think touche, Chuck.
You know, whatever.
Well met. On guard.
I know what both of you are saying.
Right.
I will say for Chuck's argument, it wouldn't be the most surprising thing if in this specific circumstance. If LaMarcus Aldridge, his value to winning basketball games might be overstated.
That's the other
even though
part of
I
it.
Think he's amazing. I don't want to offend people. When I watch him, I'm always like, that guy's awesome.
He's great.
Like he's so good. But it wouldn't be the most shocking thing. I wouldn't bet on it, but it wouldn't be the most shocking thing if a bunch of other medium players could kind of replace some of his.
I'm just glad they're not giving up because that's such a brutal blow.
It could have been easy to just rebuild.
I still don't think we know if they will.
Let Wes Johnson go.
They seem to be scrapping to me. It looks like a scrappy front office.
Yeah,
that's what I see from that.
So, Wes Matthews. My worst of the week is very similar and hilarious, like the King situation. Ty Lawson. Shout out, Ty Lawson. You are a hilarious type fella who also... I don't want to use coded language.
What a hookah at.
He might enjoy the life more than the craft.
He about that life. Game.
He's Afro man.
He, one month ago, I don't know if you know, someone on Instagram, like a random, like a you or me on Instagram.
I got 700 followers, dog.
Just
chill. You ain't like me, dog.
Just posted like Ty Lawson, hey, I wish you would come to the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And to which... Ty Lawson replied and said, LOL, I wish. So like that was a month ago.
Yeah.
And so then on draft night after the Nuggets selected Moutier, he was filmed. Like there's a video online of him smoking his hookah.
Yeah.
Shisha, baby.
And he says like, I told you I was going to Sacramento, dog, or something to that effect. So again, this man has a good contract.
Yeah.
Like I know we've actually done a really great thing and we haven't said with the increasing cap yet or
that's next
this
season,
podcast, but that's because that's what every free agency has to be through that
it does.
Prism.
Yeah.
But he is wrapped up, I think, for 3 more years at like 12 million or something.
Yeah.
And he is his on-court contributions. He is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He's an above average point guard in a league where there's a glut of really good players. Like he's one of the good ones. But again, he seems to be clearly getting his way out of Denver and lowering his trade value and their leverage with every
hookah drag.
With every tweet.
With every puff. John, you got to, what's your worst?
I'm staying in the same wheelhouse that you fellas have built. Two teams traded valuable draft picks for marginal NBA players. Atlanta Hawks.
I think marginal is generous for Tim Hardaway Jr.
Tim Hardaway Jr. probably doesn't belong in this league, and the Hawks gave up a useful pick. I don't know if this is about a salary cap. I don't know what
it
this
seems
is about.
To be. So Tim Hardaway Jr., I believe, makes less money this year than the 15 pick would have made. So it seems to be this year cost cutting. Yeah,
has to be that. And then I don't know what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing.
Let's
Revis Vasquez.
Let's break it up. Let's first of all the Hawks.
Right.
You're right. These are more, while I thought the Mason Plumlee trade was kind of like, huh? It only took the 23rd pick to get him, but still no big deal. Didn't get a big rise out of me. These trades,
yeah.
I was like, what in the world?
Full Nimoy eyebrow raise.
Right. So Tim Hardaway Jr. was terrible this year. But the Hawks have stated, and it might be true, they feel like they can fix him. Also, this goes back to the John Lure having 23 points against the Suns.
Oh, boy.
Danny Ferry, no longer employed.
It's true.
Budenholzer.
Lots of coded language.
Now Budenholzer has been promoted. He has more basketball responsibilities, like for the team building. I believe in one of the last games of the season, Tim Hardaway had one of his good games.
Yeah, against, like a 30-point
against
game.
The Atlanta Hawks.
That's the way you do it.
So again, they've stated they think they can fix him. Like they said something to the effect of like, we can fix his shot. So
He could turn into a Lou Williams diet.
No,
version.
That's crazy.
No,
he is an unconscious gunner.
What was Lou Williams before he came?
He was a sixth man of the year.
But before he started playing well in Atlanta, he just was a guy who had to figure out the game.
Lou Williams gets to the rim easier and has more explosion years of age on him than Tim Hardaway.
So the Bucks cleared a bunch of salary cap room by trading Ersan Ilyasova for a bag of, I believe, low-fat wheat thins, we decided.
They were Triscuits reduced fat.
Yes. This trade, they traded a future first-round pick, which, while maybe we've said that the Hinkie, the Ainge plans of stockpiling
isn't
working as much.
This is the illogical extreme of that.
This is strange. One, so they gave up salary cap room. Grievous Vasquez, as we would say, decent. He's like a good backup.
He was middling, 2 years ago.
But he is, he's a decent backup, but he's paid well for being, underpaid.
He is the opposite of the Ty Lawson situation.
Right. It's an expiring contract. So you're trading a future first for 1 year of a backup point guard, and you've cost yourself almost all the salary cap room you created.
Right.
By trading Ersan Ilyasova.
Mm-hmm. And he's the whole identity of the Bucks, or what we thought the identity of the Bucks was built around defense. Grievous Vasquez, this is not exaggeration, as prone to hyperbole as I might be the worst point guard defender in the league.
I don't.
He's in the Beno Udrih level. He's very poor.
His perimeter defense, very bad.
Right.
He does at least, I feel like, somehow default of him being a little taller. He's better. But yes, he's not a good defender. Yeah. He's not a length defender like the Bucks have created their whole team with.
Yeah, but when you have a player like that, you can hide him, can't you?
No, I think, again, if it's just purely basketball, if we're just picking a team at the Y or whatever, I think having Grievous play crunch time over Michael Carter-Williams is probably better.
A better idea.
Probably better off.
Trading a future first-round pick for a guy making $6.6 million on an expiring deal, I don't get, especially with the salary cap will skyrocket. You know what doesn't skyrocket along with the salary cap is the first-round pick, like the scale that they make. So first-round picks are getting cheaper and cheaper, and that'll be cheap labor going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Which these rich owners should know all about. You got to exploit the cheap labor.
But to cap off, my worst of the week is the Hawks doing Hawks. I now hate the Hawks after this playoff, so this is good. I'm glad that they're doing stupid things.
Fulfilling their
and
prophecy.
Then I think they took two draft and stashes in the second round,
right.
So they didn't even get any.
Yeah, they took like a
players.
Argentinian or something. But and then the Bucks are taking this tall point guard positionless basketball thing to like a hilarious extreme. So I'm actually going to enjoy watching the Bucks next year. It might be a bit of schadenfreude, but
I loved watching the Bucks this year.
It's
they're offensive rating of like 92 to go with their defensive rating of 94.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of fun.
And their fight ratio of one a game.
Yeah.
Those dudes buck nuck if you bucks.
One of the fun things about this Bucks trade, the Bucks now have on their roster Jared Bayless, yeah. OJ Mayo, and Grievous Vasquez.
Yowza.
All former Grizzlies, and all former Lionel Hollins doghouse players.
And they're trying to steal the grindhouse.
And they, oh, that's,
we need to go ahead.
Never mind. I don't like the Bucks anymore.
Can we put the fatwa on anyone else other than the Grizzlies claiming grinding or grindhouse or the word grind?
Yeah. Did you just make Jason Kidd into Salman Rushdie?
We'll put a fatwa on him.
All right. So those are our worst of the week. All right. So a few more thoughts, I guess, about random things. Our Hassan Whiteside cocks it back. To Waffle House presents scattered, smothered, covered. I almost made it.
You could never get it right.
Oh, so close.
It's okay.
Chuck, Dwayne Wade.
Dwanye
has not decided what he's doing. By the time we post this podcast, he might have, because his deadline for opting in is Monday.
Is Monday.
This will go up early wee hours of Monday.
Yeah.
The chronically underpaid Dwayne Wade
never has been
is
the highest
now
paid.
Trying to be overpaid.
Dwayne Wade has never been the highest paid player on the Miami Heat's roster ever in his entire career, which for a player of his pedigree can be considered a slight. However, he's not going to make more than $21 million, which is what Chris Bosh is going to make next year. He's not going to be the highest paid player on the team, and he shouldn't be because he's the best player on the team. He's probably the third best player, and on depending on how well Hassan Whiteside's playing, he's the fourth best player on the team at this point. I think we can all
agree
on that.
What about Justice?
Maybe he's the fifth best player.
depending on what Justice...
Just maybe, Chuck. Who knows?
So, you know, Riley's in a position where he's saying all the right things. He wants Wade back. Wade wants to get paid. He left what was $30 million on the table when he opted out to try to get LeBron to come back, and now he can't recoup that. He knows it.
Right. And he also took $15 million under his value to get the big three together in the first
place.
Right,
in the first, but at the beginning of it all. So there's the business end of it. You want to say, hey, look, man, go get that money, and there will be a team who will pay him and pay him handsomely. But you don't – if you're Pat Riley, you have to look at him in the eye and wait for him to blink because he can't leave and do anything to his legacy in Miami. That would – If he comes back and signs for less money, he has officially supplanted Dan Marino as the greatest athlete in Miami sports.
You take that back.
Laces out.
Well, you're saying if he took less money again?
Yeah, if he did it again and came back, it would probably
just to help the team out.
Yeah,
that's a pretty incredible gesture.
But see,
no, it is. But
him taking less money doesn't do much for their salary cap situation.
Because of the
cap holds and the other guys aren't on the team. The Birdmans and the Mario Chalmers of the world.
Right, right.
Plus with if they sign Dragic, you know, like, so it actually doesn't, it's a weird situation.
It's super weird, and you know, basically it all boils down to Mickey Arison, the owner of the Heat, wanting whether or not he wants to pay a luxury tax for a team that's going to basically be fifth seed in the NBA playoffs.
Did he want to pay the luxury tax for a team that was going to try for a four straight finals?
They got rid of Mike Miller because of luxury tax.
Going for the three-peat?
Yeah, so... But being under the luxury tax this year, there's those multipliers that don't come into play that would have happened if you're a multiple offender. The
things that teams have to choose this season with the rising salary cap, one, being over the luxury cap isn't terrible because next year the chance of being a repeater is so low because the cap goes up. However, the Warriors are possibly going to pay, and the Cavs are going to pay absurd amounts of luxury tax. And so if you're a luxury tax payer, you miss out on that boon of all the, you know, the Cavs paying the greatest tax bill in the league history.
Yeah.
One of the things about so I've been thinking about this, the thing about the veterans, the weird quandary of where these Hall of Fame players who are still good.
And Wade is good.
Yeah, yeah. Like Wade was great last
year
for 61 games or whatever. Like he was great. It's weird where it helps the team to get them to take less. And you see it happening. Dirk took like 8 last year.
Duncan.
Duncan, you know, signed for way under his value. And this is happening right now. And I'm curious if in the next CBA, this will be something that comes up. Because hypothetically, what if Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili both come back to the Spurs and they're like, screw it, we'll play for the minimum.
Yeah.
Like, we won't even affect the salary cap whatsoever.
Like veteran minimum for 20
years. Yeah, yeah. And then the Spurs are like, cool, we're going to sign LaMarcus Aldridge, and we're going to be able to re-sign Danny Green.
And we
can honestly keep Splitter if we want. Like, it seems weird. It seems like we're going to get to a point. The opposite of that is obviously Kobe, who took over his market value for how he's still playing. But, you know, but his argument is his income is being capped artificially. Because he generates that revenue.
No, he does.
Like, he doesn't contribute on the court anymore, that value.
But his jersey makes the Lakers
and his TV. So it's weird where I wonder if in the future there will be some thing where, like, if you were an All-NBA player the previous year and you're, like, a 10-time All-Star, you have a minimum cap hold. Like you have to be paid at least $10 million.
Yeah, 15, yeah.
Because it seems weird to put players in the position where some guys who get praised and lauded by media and fans for taking under market value, but where they really shouldn't have to.
Well, part of me is like
it helps the team, but it seems weird that
if Ginobili and Duncan come back, there's like some rich oil magnate in Central Texas that's just shelling out like money
briefcases full of cash.
Yeah, just like pure cash to those guys. And why Mickey Arison hasn't done it yet makes me a little confused.
Maybe he's not as baller as you like to.
Zoran Dragic is going to be at the Vegas Summer League. I'm going to see if I see anything poking out of him.
Check his stitches. Pants. He may not have all of his vital organs.
Follow him to the bathroom.
Then he stitches coming out of him. So I don't know. Yeah.
Two people are going to. If you get that.
You're one of our real listeners.
You're one of our real listeners, and send us a tweet with a thumbs up symbol to @FastBreakBreak on Twitter.
There's probably an emoji for like stolen black market livers and stuff.
That's right. An emoji for human trafficking.
Yeah.
For body part trafficking.
I think it's a corn on the cob that's halfway peeled. That's what I think it is.
Another random thought, Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, here we go.
Reportedly been fined $3 million.
Oh, yeah.
For not disclosing Drew Holiday's.
Injury, who cares?
Random thing I just noticed. I missed this on draft night. There are now two Marcus Thorntons in the NBA.
There are. I saw that.
It's confusing.
That is too many.
There's a free agent Marcus Thornton and now second round pick Marcus Thornton. It'll be fun to learn their differences. I mean, honestly,
they'll probably both end up on the Kings.
That will not be as confusing as if this Aaron and Andrew Harrison both make the league.
I do not know which Harrison.
I mean, already the Morris twins are nearly impossible. Yeah. And I'll be damned if I learned the difference between the Zellers
and the Plumleys.
I know the Plumleys. Somehow I've learned them. The Plumleys I've learned.
Well, they don't look
like brothers.
Yeah, one's a brunette and the other's a blonde kid.
There's a third Plumley coming.
There is, right? Where's he, in Duke or?
Oh, really? Yeah.
He's in the pipeline.
Very exciting. Real quick, you know what? I think we got time for a game of scones.
Uh-oh.
John.
I've had a losing streak.
Chuck, you've been slipping.
Well, by losing streak, John has yet to beat me.
No, he beat me. No, John won.
I whooped that trick.
You did. I didn't get one right last week.
Outright.
Yeah, I didn't get
last
one
week.
Right.
All right, so this week, based on free agency coming up and some of the big contracts that are going to be signed, and also with this rising cap, we're going to see some hilarious, you know, we're headed towards a lockout salaries being given out.
Yay.
When guys making no field goal attempts in the final games get signed max contracts, I'm looking at you, Tristan Thompson. We're going to have some problems. All right, so this is going to be real simple, real quick. In 2014, 2015...
Chuck is putting some psych out stuff over
here. Chuck's putting on his game time glasses. The way we'll do it, we'll do it how we did it last week that seemed to work well. You get 1 point for a correct answer, and then if you miss one, that's a strike. When you get 3 strikes, you are out. So hopefully that'll prevent ties. We're talking about NBA salaries.
Oh, dear.
We're talking about in 2014-15, what were the 10 largest contracts for last year? Who made the most money last year, 2014-15? 10 people. John, you are the defending champ. Do you want to go first or second?
I will go first.
Okay.
I'll go with LeBron.
LeBron clocked in at number 7. Seventh highest salary. That's correct.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Kobe Bryant made the most money. That is correct. 1-1.
Let's do... God, I hate this game already. Chuck is successfully psyching me out. This is a death...
This is early in the game to be psyched out, John.
Deathly stare.
Chris Moneymaker. I have lizard glasses on.
Let's do Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony, the fourth highest paid player for last year. Correct.
I will do... This is a good one. Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, the eighth highest paid player.
You took it, plucked it from my mind.
Mm-hmm. You got Mello from me.
My mind blends.
All right, 2-2, no strikes.
I'm going to try to get weird. I'm going to go with Darren Williams.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct.
Christopher Bosch.
Chris Bosch. Correct.
The third. Ooh.
3-3, no strikes.
Let's do. Let's take it. Let's take it to a big man with Dwight Howard.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we got a strike coming. I'm throwing this one right down the middle.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, all my go-tos are they're older guys and they took less money. So Dirk, Duncan, because it's about the...
it's about getting paid. You're stalling.
Quit stalling, Chuck. we can see through your ruse.
I'm going to go Kevin Durant.
Nope.
Oh God!
I know. Still on a rookie.
He's too young.
Great,
he's
Bob.
He's too young. Well, I know he's on. He's on his. He's on his younger.
He on his.
You make
contract.
Less when you're your first six contract. To 8 year.
A youngish deal,
right?
Yeah. I messed up. And I
that's
know
one strike. It's fine. One strike.
Gonna, whoever you say next is who I will say.
That's one
I
strike.
Don't think I have.
I think you got it.
We got three left.
Let me do David Lee.
No. He's not making that much.
That's kind of a good joke, though.
This is, yeah.
Why didn't I think of this one?
One strike.
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson.
Oh!
Yeah.
Joe Johnson.
That's who I thought you for sure would do.
The third highest paid.
I think you should win just for remembering that he existed.
Yes.
All right, so we got
only two left,
we're 4-4.
Right?
4-4.
Points are 4-4.
Strike each.
One strike each. Two people left.
Man, we are definitely going to tie.
We are.
You guys can't do this?
I don't we think could. So. Let me go with Kevin Love.
That's incorrect. It's two strikes for John.
Come on.
Well, if Durant didn't do it, then everyone in the drafts after him isn't going to do it. So I need to do a draft before him, but between Wade.
It's good.
Rudy Gay.
That is correct.
Whoa.
That was a great one. Rudy Gay is on the last year of his deal.
Yeah,
he's actually going to be a good deal starting next year
when
this his contract extends.
What is it? Where is he on the list?
He's number 10. Ugh. Last year he made $19.3 million. So
there's only one left.
So that's now Chuck has five points. John has four.
I got to nail this.
You got to nail this just for the tie.
Where is he on the list?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you both.
Yeah,
he is number two.
Ooh,
he made $23.41 million.
So we should be getting this.
Yeah,
when I fail here, we are going to be mad at ourselves.
Uh huh.
I will say,
don't, not for him.
Okay,
there should be no more hints.
Okay,
yeah,
fair.
Pau Gasol.
No, it's a good guess, though, because Pau Gasol just took that cheap deal
Oh, I screwed.
Two years ago, he made a lot of money.
Yeah, he just took less money he took less money to leave L.A.
Right. And actually, Marc Gasol announced...
That's why he's not going.
Marc Gasol announced recently he's not going to L.A. like he ever was, but he's not going to L.A. because of how they treated Pau.
Okay.
Can you win with style, Chuck?
I have two ideas in my head.
I'm rooting for you, Chuck.
Since you both... All right, now I'll let you try to get it, and then I'll...
I'm going to go Derrick Rose.
No. It's a good guess.
I actually can still tie here.
You can.
You can.
I need to get...
You got
to
nail it right here.
Can I have a clue now, Chuck?
No.
I didn't get one.
Yeah, if Chuck didn't get it right there, you know. This is... You got to tie it legitimately.
Number two, Amari Stoudemire.
That is correct. Your hint was going to
and
be...
And he got bought out, right? No, he didn't get bought out.
Your hint was going to be he was getting... He did not finish the year on the team that was paying him.
Oh.
That tie was well earned.
That was a great tie. And so, and once again, we lost listeners because we had a tie.
Never have a winner on this show.
We need to find something to get go to shootout.
Never, ever have a winner.
Take the penalties.
All right. Our par fadeaway. Free agency is coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of... It's going to be Wild West.
Yeah.
There's so many free agents. It's crazy.
We already talked about Wade. I think another huge piece is Kevin Love, who's reportedly going back to the Cavs.
He has to go to the Cavs.
But that also sounds like something his agent will tell a team that could pay him a bucket of money. But he can't make any more money.
He makes the most money with the Cavs. And I think the narrative of him leaving is so...
crippling.
Yeah, it'll just be such a terrible story for him.
Yeah, he'll be absolutely immobile when he's on the beach in Los Angeles counting his millions of dollars and wiping his tears with hundreds.
Look, it will affect him.
These people care about this stuff.
No,
does he? Well, yeah. He could go to Portland. They've effectively have cap space now.
Right.
Fit right in with a team that...
Myers Leonard.
That kind of would be built around him. And him and LaMarcus Aldridge are effectively replaceable.
He does come from a family of villainy.
Mike Love was
an asshole.
He went to high school in Oregon.
Yeah.
That's another thing. So, there, you know, Kevin Love is a big, I think... piece. Once he falls, I think he's the main domino that'll kind of like determine where everything is.
I'm most interested. I think
him in LA.
I think, you know, LeBron and Kevin Love are going back to Cleveland just because it's weird if they don't. So I don't really buy any scenario where they don't do it.
How is it weird? We spoke for weeks and weeks about how we thought Kevin Love was in no way, shape, or form coming back to the Cavs.
I think that was.
I wasn't really serious.
No, that was most people. I think the internet was saying.
I think he's staying. I think Jimmy Butler's staying, even though the Bulls are apparently getting weird with his contract. Because he doesn't want a full max.
No, he wants to be able to opt out.
Yeah. I think DeAndre Jordan is staying. We think Marc Gasol is going to stay.
Oh, we hope.
Draymond's going to stay.
For the podcast, I would like to see Mark go.
If LaMarcus Aldridge...
You guys would turn into jelly beans.
It'd be crazy. Would end.
It would end.
Yeah. With LaMarcus Aldridge saying he's going somewhere,
yeah,
it seems like that almost helps. As a Grizzlies fan, that helps me. Because, Gasol's not leaving to go to anywhere that's not the Spurs in my mind.
Right.
Like, if I was Gasol, I would consider going to the Spurs. Mm-hmm. That seems amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Shut your face.
Imagining Duncan and Gasol playing together with, Kawhi is glorious.
I mean,
that's like basketball nirvana.
I mean, not to belittle Marc Gasol, but he is a lesser version of Tim Duncan. You know, a very effective passer, wonderful defender, rebounder, and can score... around the basket, he's great. And
but their games could really complement each other.
At this point in their careers, yeah, it would be great for Duncan to
especially
play 15
all those
to 20 minutes.
But anyway, so if LaMarcus goes to the Spurs, to my mind, that means Gasol staying home.
Yeah.
I can't see... I think, for me, LaMarcus, it makes sense to go to the Spurs. If you don't go to the Spurs, go east.
Yeah.
I can't find a good fit in
the
east.
Eastern
but
Conference
it seems
Finals.
Like, it seems like these big... free agents would want.
Well, he's not going to New York.
Why not?
And what? Well, that franchise is an utter
Porzingis.
Kristaps your mouth right now.
Kristaps it.
Kristaps all that bullshit. Yeah, no, that guy is Frederick Weiss the III or whatever. He's gonna be
Bargnani the second.
Bargnani
the Knicks
the second.
Don't even need him because they're getting Greg Monroe. So
yes, and David West.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah.
The idea of a Greg Monroe, David West, Carmelo Anthony front line is not good.
Well,
people,
that's the thing. If you watch any Knicks basketball, which I gladly am proud to say I did not, everything I've read bloggers talk about is that the Knicks' best lineup was with Carmelo at the four.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And you basically have brought in, Monroe is a center by trade, but he's 6'10 and probably
Monroe.
Don't try to outthink the Zen master.
Monroe is a strange.
There's a subtle perfection.
He's a really good player, but it's hard to find a situation where he fits great because you need.
He's not a good player.
No.
Shooting percentage, he shoots every shot he takes is at the rim, and he still shoots poorly.
Yeah. He has no outside game, so he's a nightmare for the new, pace and space or
he's
kind
not,
of spacing offense.
I need a term for what he is.
He's
empty
not a,
numbers.
Not a rim protector.
Like,
he's a looter in a riot.
It's like how Al Jefferson, I feel like I should use the adjective good for Al Jefferson, but I'm not sure that his... creating tough baskets 47% of the time, don't think that helps you win.
No.
So it's like, I think he's good, but I don't want him on my team. Like, yeah, I'm just saying I lack the proper adjective to describe.
Well, let's create one. He is a Monroe. He's a Monrovian.
He's a poor man's Kevin Willis.
Oh, that's pretty great. Yeah, no, he's a Kevin Willis.
So he'll play for 40 some odd years.
Yeah, he'll be a four, somebody you always think about, but he's never going to do anything important on a team that matters because he'll be overpaid and he ruins their salary.
We didn't quite talk enough about the Hornets. I don't know what they're doing.
No one knows what they're doing.
I mean, I feel bad. Again, it's hard to build a team around Kimball Walker and Al Jefferson. If those are your two highest players.
Frank Kaminsky.
But now you got Frank the Tank. And young Republican Spencer Hawes.
We're going streaking.
What is that roster?
And Batum.
Oh, shut it down. Kid Gilchrist.
Kid Gilchrist is their best player.
Yes.
I mean, like, he's good.
Yeah. No, he's good. And he plays zero offense.
Yeah. But he's still somehow, like, very effective. So I guess we'll wrap this up.
Well, let me just say what I'm
there's
looking
so much going
to.
On.
Yes, yeah, John. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting texts from Keith from Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Summer League.
I'll be in Vegas.
Keith's,
I think we
Keith's
might.
Doing his due diligence.
It's like 10 days away, 2 weeks. We might podcast before then for a free agency.
Yeah, we could do something. We need a breakfast podcast.
You know, we still need to do a breakfast. Like
20-minute breakfast podcast. If you guys are into that.
If I'm still alive.
Tweet us a hashtag breakfast to Fast Break Break.
You have anything you're looking forward to? The building of the Heat's next championship roster?
I'm in this weird place where I'm not certain if Dwayne Wade is who I want on my team at this point.
It's a weird part of fandom.
It is, because I know as a fan of the franchise that Wade doesn't fit the current building of the organization. He's plodding and slow and requires the ball in a very... You know, like molasses offense, and we have a
You guys are trying to do a transition thing now.
We are.
If the Justice Winslow pick means something,
or
it may have just fallen into their laps.
It does. It did, and I think their centerpiece now is around the pick and pop and offensive chemistry between Dragic and Bosch, if Dragic signs, which I believe he will, because who doesn't want to leave Miami? So that's where they're going to build it off. Yeah, I'm sorry. The one person. So the only person that has ever left Miami for Cleveland
in history.
In all of the world.
And then it needs to be said, LeBron, with his, I'm not going to recruit Kevin Love. If he doesn't understand that we have a winning team here, why should I recruit him? Moron.
That was checkmate.
Moron, you literally did this last year.
Yeah.
Well, he negged him. Yeah. That's some, you guys don't know about pickup artist stuff, but that's negging. So you meet a hot chick. And where every guy tells the hot chick how pretty she is.
I want to file this under things I don't want to know.
Well, here's it. This is the idea of a neg. Is you see a hot chick, and while every guy says, hey, you're really hot and beautiful, you find a thing that's bad about her, and you tell her I'm not really interested.
Oh, no, that is my entire social strategy. I don't know if you know that.
Keith's impossible.
I didn't know that was a compliment. I didn't know that was a thing.
No, that's how you got a beautiful wife and a wonderful house.
And no friends.
It's a lonely world.
But that's LeBron's doing. He's taking numbers from Mystery and the pickup artist.
The pickup artist.
Yeah, he's basically going, I could live without him. Meanwhile, he knows
respect
his... 4 years of LeBron's career depend on having a big like Kevin Love
LeBron,
on offense.
LeBron is Frank TJ Mackey.
Did we ever figure out why he drove a Saturn in that movie? Just so strange.
Was it?
In Magnolia, why Frank TJ Mackey drives a Saturn?
I didn't know it was a Saturn. Maybe it has something to do with like...
The better to... It has great frog protection.
Yeah. It's like the least masculine, the least masochistic, misogynist car.
The duality of man, my friend.
There you are.
Maybe that was his sadistic side. He picked a car that wouldn't be around in 10 years.
Or maybe it was like a challenge. He liked the challenge of driving up to the club in his Saturn. To try to...
It is kind of... Those Saturns were like the sportiest... cars.
Yeah, they were. I knew a guy with like $4,000 worth of electronic sound equipment in it.
Had blue lights underneath it.
It was great, but that went away.
Yeah. All right. So thank you guys for listening. If you want to help us out, the best thing you can do is to tell your friends about us and to rate us and give us a review.
Five stars or GTFO.
I'll take a PayPal like $50.
Yeah. You can check out Chuck. He could use your help. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.